I want to say something tonight, and I don't know just exactly where I'll go in what I say, but I'd like for you to follow along with me, and I'm going to give out a secret tonight. When some of you hear it, you'll never notice it. You'll never see it. It'll go right on past you. Some of you that would hear the literal expression of it, you're so overconfident that you already know everything and nobody can tell you anything till you'll already know it before I ever say it. And some of you will hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. So then whichever way it goes, the Lord has His way in everything and does everything for His own purpose, after the counsel of His own will. Some people are so sure that nobody else knows anything until there's no way to help them. And they're so sure, even though they declare that they believe in the supernatural, they're so confident that it just can't come from a man until they still don't get it. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. I do not believe that God can project Himself through any means or measure except a man. That's what I believe. Now, if you know another way, and you could come and tell me. Now, I know He spoke through a donkey, He spoke through a dove, He spoke through a tree. Done all those things. I know the heavens declare His handiwork. But I, after many long years of preaching the word from coast to coast and into the foreign places and communing with the greatest of mankind, the greatest Bible scholars and teachers and pastors, and hearing the debates pro and con, and I have come to understand that God manifests Himself in a man. There is a lot of ways that God can come to us and project Himself to our human intelligence. But the highest form of life in the earth is a man. God projected Himself in the personification of life, and the highest form of living is in humanity. Now, I don't know how much I'll say about that tonight, but we may hit along those lines. God is doing something great. Have you ever noticed that you be praising the Lord and, you know, the preacher will say something real good. And somebody will say, amen. Somebody else will say something real good and somebody will say, amen. You just keep on, you know, in the things of God's going. You say, amen. Isn't that strange? You're always talking about amen. Everything you say, God says amen. Somebody said, God's here. Somebody said, amen. Come on. Come on. Then start talking about a man already. I heard it then. Isn't that strange how the Lord does that? So then there is something to know, and it's wonderful to be able to know it. There's a brother here tonight. If I was him, I'd get up and leave. I would. Not that I'm asking him to. I'd like for him to stay, you know, if he wants to. But if I was him, I'd get up and leave. He's been with us about 7 nights. And he has heard things that has thrilled his heart. But he's so jealous in his way of life and so upset because he's not got the leadership and not being projected until it has tore him from limb to limb. And he can't hardly bear it even tonight. If I was him, I'd get up and leave and go somewhere where I could enjoy life, wouldn't you? Amen. I would. I wouldn't make myself miserable if I didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ and love the people of God and want to see the progress of Christ's kingdom. I'd get up and leave. Everybody here, as far as I can pick up your spirit, is in harmony. enough to want to hear the message of God and the things of God but him. And almost every night he's been that way. In the morning service this morning, he wasn't that way. He'd done a little repenting. I picked his spirit up and he was better off. Tonight he come in, the first thing I picked up, his spirit's in terrible shape. The devil's turning him up again. But I love him. I want you to pray for him. Ask the Lord to help him. Who knows? Nothing too hard for God. God may bring the man out. I hope he does. I want to read just a little bit to you. And I'd like for you to read with me from over in the book of Matthew's. I've got some things I'd like to say tonight if the Lord would lead us into them. And if you'll believe and pray and concentrate on the mind of Jesus Christ, he'll say something to us. Matthew's, the 8th chapter. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid in sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, tonight, I'd like to dwell on the Word of God for just a little bit. You know, no matter where we take our text from, no matter what the story is that we use to get it over, no matter who it is preaching, if it's a son of God, we always preach the Word. Isn't that right? The Bible said, preach the word. So one may approach it from one way of life. Like Matthew's, Mark, Luke, and John, one would take one aspect of life, another would take another. And all of them would wind up doing one thing, and that's preaching the word. Isn't that right? So then our ultimate goal is to preach the word. I expressed this morning how that God has ordained that the kingdom of God be preached. Folks, a lot of people are going to miss the rapture and miss the wonderful things of God because they do not understand. The Bible tells us that the people of God perish from the lack of knowledge. The one thing that the people of God has not listened to or tried to receive is the knowledge of God. I believe in the singing, and I think it's wonderful. I believe it's needed. I believe in the shouting. I love to see people dance in the Spirit. I believe in the testifying, the witnessing. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in prophesying. I believe in the spiritual gifts of healing and miracles. Every bit of it is needed in the church. And Solomon said there's a time for all things. But there is one thing from the creation of the world that God has desired for you and I, and that is the knowledge of God. In the beginning was God. Is that right? In the beginning was God the Word. And that Word is the divine mind of Christ. And God places His Word in greater than anything else in the Bible. Is that right? The Word of God is placed above miracles. It's placed above healing. It's placed above the gifts of the Spirit. The Word of God is elevated above any gift of discernment or anything else. The Word of God is so great that it is elevated above the name Jesus. Come on, folks. There is nothing greater than the name Jesus, but the Bible said He esteems His Word above His name. Why is that? Because the name is the name of the Word. But the Word is the very substance itself. In the beginning was the Word. It doesn't say the name. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word came forth and put on flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld it as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is that right? There is nothing greater in the earth today than the name Jesus, aside from God's eternal Word, which is His own state of being. There is no other way to get to the Word except through the name Jesus. God is so ordained that no man can come unto me except through the name. So then we see a great thing that's taking place. The kingdom of God then is preached. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached. Isn't that wonderful? The kingdom that we're looking for, Jesus instructed them very carefully that they would miss the kingdom of God because they were carnally minded. They were observing something that would never come. They were looking for something that they would never see. He told the Jews being carnal-minded people, having been given carnal ordinances of the washing of pots and pans, and though the great eternal Spirit God had walked in their midst, and they had had such a great, wonderful thing in their presence, yet in spite of all of that, they did not see the Spirit. They only saw the carnal side of life. That is the same way that it is with the church today. God has given us buildings. God has given us prestige. God has given us all the blessings of life. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. And He's given us all things. But what do we find at the ending of the church age? What do we find in the closing of the church age? That the church is still carnal. Come on, folks. After God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, at the end of the church age, we find that people are still carnal. Why? The Bible said that you say that we are rich and that we have need of nothing. We have the fine cathedrals of today. We have clothing. We have income. We have everything today but the one thing that we need. And that is the Word of God. The Word of God. What is the Word of God? Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." So then we've taken everything except the life. And everything is no good without the life. Isn't that right? Jesus tried to tell him on one occasion. He said, is not your life more than raiment? You understand what he's saying? He said, you're not very wise. Isn't the life that you have worth more than the raiment that you spend the life to get? Isn't it, folks? Is that right? Isn't it worth more? Hallelujah. Yet we spend our life trying to get a hold of the natural substance of this world. But what we need is the Spirit of God in our midst. God is a spirit. And they that worship God must be spiritual. Paul said, I would speak unto you as unto spirituals. If we are to have God's presence, we've got to have God's Spirit. The Bible said, as I have covenanted with you, my Spirit remaineth among you. God's Spirit is among us. But folks, we are not very spiritual. God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship God with their spirit. In spirit and in truth. Paul said, the God whom I serve with my spirit. Did you know that witches out in the world, fortune tellers, and different people in the world like Jeannie Dixon and others, did you know that they are more spiritual than the leaders of Christ in some ways? Did you know that? That is to say, the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light, according to the scripture, and they give themselves more to the spiritual side of life than some of the ministers of God do. That is true. I believe that it is time that we took our swords and beat them into plowshares. And as the scripture tells us, let the house of God be established. And invite all nations up to the house of God. And let them come and learn the knowledge of Christ. The thing that pleases God is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God is trying to bring us into the mind of Christ. I've said this so many times. Why does God want us to have the mind of Jesus? Because the mind of Jesus so pleased God in the days of his earthly life. The life of Jesus so pleased God that God determined that every living human being that would be accepted of him would have to have that same mind. Paul said, let this same mind be in you that was also in Christ. He determined that every human body should have the same spirit, the same mind, the same nature. Why? Because a body or an image is produced from the nature of the Father. And Jesus Christ had the nature of the Father. And the Bible tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature of God. And God tells us that unless we can come into his image, that in the morning, which is the resurrection, that I will despise thine image. If we do not come into the mind of Christ, into the Spirit of God, then we will have the nature of Satan and it will mold us into a personification of the bastard child. And in the morning we will be the image of the beast. And then God will hate our image because he will see a life of harlotry. Somebody say amen. But if we take the nature of Jesus, then the nature of Christ will bring us into that wonderful personification of God. Tonight, I wish that I had the time, as I've said so many times, and you had the endurance to where I could tell you the things that God has shared with me. I never knew how great he was, I never knew God in my early life. But one day I came to know God. The Bible said, they in the last days that shall know their God shall do mighty exploits. And we have a way to know God. There has never been a people in the history of mankind that is as privileged as this people of today. We feel like we're the most unprivileged people, and we keep looking back on the days of the prophets and on the things that are gone by, and we keep thinking about the miracles and the supernatural powers, mourning, feeling that this day in which we live is an unprofitable day. The Bible said, and they shall say, and what profit is it that I have served God and kept His commandments? But oh, my brother, if you could understand, the prophets long to be in this day. Old brother Elijah would have traded places with you that quick. Old brother John the Baptist would have traded with you that quick. Moses, the great man of God, would have traded with you that quick. All of the prophets from Moses down into this time spoke of this day. The Bible said, God hath at sundry times and in divers manners spoken unto us by the prophets, but hath in this latter time spoken unto us by the membership of the body of Jesus Christ, by His Son. For as it is written, they shall all be taught of God. For when the preacher preaches, it shall not be him that speak, but the heavenly Father speaking from within Him. What a glorious day. Hallelujah. Ed, that makes you feel religious, don't it? Hallelujah. It makes me feel religious too. Praise God to think that we're living in the day when John said the tabernacle of God is among men. Oh, hallelujah. When John got the revelation of Jesus Christ, looking back at Calvary, he saw the tabernacle of God among men. Looking and beholding the tabernacle of God among mankind. The Bible said, you're the temples of the Holy Ghost. God shall walk in you and dwell in you and talk in you. And Peter said, as long as I am in this tabernacle, and if this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the Spirit, in the heavens not made with hand. You know, my heart is thrilled because I come to know Jesus. At one time, I did not know where heaven was. I did not know what heaven was. I couldn't understand. I didn't know. But one day, God called me away with Him, and He began to talk with me. And He said, son, I have somewhat to say to thee. And I said, well, Lord, say on. I fasted and I prayed and I'm ready to preach. But God said, son, I have somewhat to say to thee. Though thou fasted, though thou prayed, there's many things that you don't know. I said in my heart, I said, but God, how can it be? But He said it is. And He took me away as it was with John into the Spirit. And He showed me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight, as I try to express a few words, a few things to you, I hope that you'll be spiritual. I hope that you'll just get into the Word and into the anointing. And let me express just a few things to you tonight. I know that there's some here that's carnal. They're babes in Christ. You can't even hold their attention. They can't even concentrate. They're more interested in the people that surround them, the things that's going on, than they are in the eternal God. They've never trained themselves. They've never given themselves to the Word. Whereas the Bible speaks of those that have exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. And the Bible calls these people the strong. And it tells us that the meat is for the strong. Hallelujah.
I see something tonight that is so lovely. With the moving of the body of my brother Charles, coming from over in Memphis, with the great drought that we spoke of that would strike the world, when we saw the vision of the great drought and we spoke our prophesied of it striking the world, and it's already struck around the different parts of the nation, already struck around the different parts of the world, and growing worse all the time from all that we can find out from the papers. Why? Because while the body of a young man is being taken out of the earth in the city of Memphis, Tennessee, 13 years it's laid in the soil. And the lawyer and others, they say it's unheard of. People don't do that. 13 years. But God said it's coming up out of the soil. And many, many months ago, I predicted that they would take him up, move him. Even Brother Ted remembers that way back there. I said they'll take him up and they'll move him. It had to do with a certain time and a certain thing. As on earth, so in heaven, that it was to be a certain time and a certain thing. Why? Because it had to do with the conquering of death. It had to do with the message that God would give in the last fleeting moments of time where death would be conquered. Hallelujah! His name is Charles Aaron. Aaron the high priest coming up. Death can no longer hold the people of God, breaking through the veil and coming up. For the dead in Christ shall rise. Hallelujah. Aaron the first fruits of them that slept. Hallelujah. And afterwards they that are in his likeness. Tonight represents a great thing. The last night of the camp meeting, ending with its 7 days, closing out the church ages. Tonight, while we're preaching, this very night, it denotes a great thing. And even while I'm preaching, any moment, they may drive in here tonight with the body of my brother that's been in the ground for 13 years. As a matter of fact, they're due right now to pull in on the campground here or somewhere around in the next little bit. Why? They've already taken him up, already put him on the truck. They've already transported him over probably by now, and it's somewhere in the area. What does it have to do with? The resurrection of the dead. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, we've waited a long time for the promises of God. Hallelujah! God is wanting us to move on in the Spirit. People that say that I'm Lutheran, that's all right. Luther was a great man. And people that say I'm Wesleyan, that's all right. Wesley was a great man. Hallelujah. And those that followed Paul, that's all right. Those that followed Moses, that's all right. And those that followed Brother Branham, that's all right. Those that followed A. A. Allen and different ones. But my brother, those men are dead. Like God said to Joshua, tell my people that my servant Moses is dead. They're dead, great and mighty men of God. And God hid himself behind the badger skin. Hallelujah. And as I preached the sermon, when Jesus come up out of the grave, and as he walked along the way to Emmaus, talking with them, and as he opened their understanding and expounded the word of the Lord, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us, by the way? But the Bible said they did not know him. Why? Because the Bible said when he came up out of the grave, he appeared unto them in another form. Hallelujah! Brother Branham said one time, God changes his mask. God spoke. Jesus Christ stood within the veil of Moses. And I said the other night, people kept watching the little tent down in the valley. They kept looking at that little tabernacle, wondering about the Ark of the Covenant. But brothers, I say again, that the Ark of God's Covenant was up there on the mountain, the man by the name of Moses. God wasn't living in that little tabernacle down there. God lives in a human being. God was behind the badger skin, all right. Hallelujah, that blood-stained vesture. God's man was on the mountain. Where was the Ark of the Covenant? Hallelujah, it was in Moses. Amen. You know, you look at yourself here. There's two things that you can see in here. Hallelujah. Two things. What is it? One of them is the Ark of the Covenant. That's right. Here is the heart. God's kingdom is within the heart. Is that right? The kingdom of God within you. Those big lungs overshadowing the Ark of the Covenant like the cherubs. The breath of life in it. There it is on the inside. The blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart. God's blood on the mercy seat. So that he won't destroy me. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But to them that don't have the ark, to them that's never been born again, the blood's not on the mercy seat. God said to that serpent, I'll put you on your belly. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. When they fell from that garden over there, God said, I'll put you on your belly, and the dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Isn't that right? He put him on his belly. That's why when God said to John, the angel said, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, raise his hand to heaven and swear to him that liveth forever and ever, that time would be no more. That little angel came with the book. The voice of God said, take the book, John. Eat the book. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Take the book, John. He reached over and took the book. He said, eat it, John. Said, in your mouth, it'll taste like honey. But said, when it gets down here, it'll be bitter to your belly. Why? Because he put the serpent on his belly. And God knows that old natural man, that old beastly image, that old outer part that's contrary to Christ on the inside. Continual warfare between the body and the spirit. That old belly, it would be bitter because it would be death. Isn't that right? You say, where do you get that, preacher? Because God told him back there in the days of Moses, if a man's wife commit harlotry, if she is accused, bring her before the judges. And when you bring her before the judges, said, we will give her the bitter water. Is that right? And if she is guilty, she shall rot, and her thighs shall rot out. They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That bitterness had to come. Why? Because Eve played the harlot. Amen. That old fleshly man is a woman according to the Bible. That's right. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins, or her sins has reached up to heaven. They've landed on the moon. Amen. That's right. So then, she's played the harlot, and God knew the bitterness would come forth to the belly, because the belly shows the serpent. When they sinned, God said, "Thou art cursed above all the beasts of the field, and above all the cattle, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Is that right? So then, from dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. So then God put them out of the garden. Hallelujah. The expulsion from the garden. And the beast was put on his belly. And today, I say this again, the nearest thing to the Son of God is a man. In this world there is a beast. In this world there is a Son of God. Adam was the Son of God and there was a beast. In this world there's a Son of God. In this world there's the nearest thing to a Son of God. That thing is called a man. That thing is called a man. He can walk, he can talk. And I said the other night, you have to train him like you do an animal. You have to send him to college. You have to train him to do's and don'ts. Why? Because he doesn't have a mind of his own. God doesn't live within him. He's a beast. All he's got is the breath of life. He has to feel around and search out and develop. But the Bible said all of they that are born of God are of a good understanding. Have the mind of Christ. So then that beast is in the world today. That man is in the world today. So is that Son of God in the world. So then when we see Adam and we look back there, we realize that Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah glory. And the Shekinah glory being over Adam, Adam was able to remain alive. Adam did not have to go on his belly. Come on, folks. While he was the sonship of God in the garden, he was not put upon his belly. While he was in the garden, he did not have to eat to stay alive. The Shekinah glory of God kept him alive. Adam eat for the pleasure of eating. And God said, "All the fruits shall be for thy meat, Adam." And God made the first covenant, which was the water covenant with him. Isn't that right? There in the garden, he was in sonship. But brothers and sisters, the day that he lent to his own understanding, when he rejected the word of God, God said, "Saul, because thou hast rejected the word of God, I've rejected thee." When he failed to obey the word of God, and he listened to the beast, the fleshly part, to his wife, when he listened to that weaker part, the woman represents his old body, the weaker part, and did not go for the spirit of the inner man. Hallelujah. When he did, God put him out of the garden. He lost his sonship. He lost the image of God. Somebody would say, "But Brother Pike, I don't believe he lost the image of God." But he did lose the image of God. Somebody said, "Prove it." That's what I want you to say. Because that's what I want to do. All my life I preached the word and proved it by the word. And if the word don't back it up, you don't want to take it. Because God said, "He that God sendeth will speak God's word." Why is it, if he did not lose the image, then tell me tonight which one of us show the image of God? We've got fat ones and we've got thin ones and we've got short ones and we've got tall ones and we've got gray ones and black-headed and blonde-headed and blue-eyed and brown-eyed and bald-headed. Which one of them's in his image tonight? What is it, my brother? In the image of the beast. That's what it is. In the image of the beast. People look like beast. In the image of the beast. That's what it was. The Shekinah glory of God over Adam caused him to have the likeness and the beauty of God. That is right. Where is the scripture, Brother Pike, to back all of this up? That sounds good, the skeptic says. But, no buts about it. Not goat-headed at all. Hallelujah. Where is the scripture? Right here. Right here, the Bible said we don't know what he looks like. We don't know what he looks like. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, we've got pictures that they painted of Jesus. But Jesus stood, and as they looked at him, Jesus said to them, said, you've never seen his image at any time. Come on, folks. If you don't believe the word, you can't be saved. That's what the word said. We're saved with faith in the word. Lean to your own understanding. God said, don't lean to your own understanding, but trust in the word with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Somebody said, bless God, I believe like I always did, and you always will. Amen. If it be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. So then, what is it? He lost his sonship. Amen. And then he was put on his belly to represent the head of that serpent. Adam was the one that received the mind of carnality, the mind of enmity with God. Jesus said, oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you know he was a perfect man and a good man? Well, if he was after the fall, then the scripture has been broken. And the Bible tells me that the scriptures can't be broken. The Bible said there's none good, no, not Adam. No, not one. Hallelujah. But all have gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. God has laid upon Jesus him the iniquity of us all. He was chastened for our wrongs. Hallelujah. So then, he put Adam on his belly. And ever since that, everyone born to the bloodstream of Adam had the devil in him when he came into this world. Born into sin. What about the image, Brother Pike? Shapen in the image of God. That isn't what it says. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. And the Bible said it was shapen in iniquity. The nature forms the image. But old Brother Peter and Paul having a revelation. What did they say? Hallelujah. What did they say? As I have borne the image of the beast. As I have borne the image of the earthly, so shall I bear the image of the heavenly. As I have borne the image that was made out of the dust, so shall I bear the image that is born to the Spirit. But the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. So then God put him on their belly. Dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. You that have been to school some, you that have seen health books, have you ever looked at the belly? The belly is a great big caul of a snake. How many of you know that? Those entrails, those intestines in there, those guts as we call them, a great big snake laying in there, always wanting to be fed. Where is he at? The belly. For upon thy belly shall thou go. All of your sickness and troubles, as a rule, comes from your belly. Amen. But up here in the heart, when the blood's on the mercy seat, there is something else. Why is that, Brother Pye? Because God made himself twain. Jesus made himself twain. Old Adam and new Adam. Is that right? Adam, firstborn, a living soul made out of the dust. That's all a man is a living soul. Is that right? All he's got in him is a breath of life. He thinks he's so great. He gets a PhD degree or goes to college and he feels so great. When he ain't nothing but a little breath of life. You've heard me tell it. God told me one time, said, I'll show you what man is. Said, pick up that can. I went over and got the cans and filled it up with water. I filled it up with water and put a top on it and said, punch a hole in it. I punched the hole in it and said, turn it upside down. I turned it upside down, the water started coming out. Somebody said, what does that prove? It proved exactly what God wanted to tell me. When the water started coming out, it couldn't get any air. And because it couldn't get any air, the sides began to go in and out. Google, 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 Google. God said, there you are. That's all man is. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that little old heart just goes loom, loom, loom. Because it can't get any air in there except through coming through the lungs and coming all the way around. And that's all there is to him. That's right. There ain't no more to him. The Bible said, man whose life or breath is in his nostrils. Is that right? That's exactly the truth. That's the way Adam was. Made out of the dirt. Adam didn't have eternal life. I said that the other night. He could have lived eternally because he was in the presence of the Shekinah. But he didn't have eternal life. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you can't prove that. Man, you don't have to prove that. Anybody with any reason would know that. If he had eternal life, how did he ever die? Eternal life means not to die. Somebody said, well, he had eternal life and lost it. That don't make sense. If that's so, then we can have eternal life and lose it. Somebody said, there you are. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. Somebody said, but now don't you know that there's people that's come and got eternal life and then was lost? Never read about one of them. Nowhere in the Bible. Said, but what about all these people, Brother Pike, that's come and lived a good Christian life and went away? The backslider. God said, if they'd have been of us, they'd have no doubt continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were never of us. So then all man is just a little breath of life. But oh, hallelujah. When you talk about the sons of God, Adam could be led astray because he had that old carnal mind. He could be led astray and he was led astray. But brother, we are born to the Shekinah glory of God. That last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And we are born to the Shekinah glory of God. We can't be led astray. The Bible said he is born of God, cannot sin. It didn't say maybe he won't sin. It said he cannot sin because he is born of God. And the seed of God remaineth in him. Somebody say amen. You got a minute? All right. Now listen. Upon thy belly shall thou go. I want to tie some things together a little further down the trail. Upon the belly, Adam, Jesus, made himself twain. You see it? And the Bible said, Peter preaching, said, and this same Jesus hath made in himself both Lord and Christ. Is that right? Somebody said, but there ain't but one, Brother Pike, but he said both. Is that right? Made in himself both Lord and Christ. Why did he make in himself both? Because the scripture could not be fulfilled unless he had. You say, why is that? Because the Bible said when he hung at Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. What does twain mean, too? The veil had to be rent in two. Is that right? That means that the Christ had to be separated from the Lord. Come on. Back in the old country, they called the man Lord. God said, Sarah called Abraham Lord. That fleshly part is the Lord. The Lord over his heritage. Isn't that right? But he made in himself both natural and spiritual. That old Adam and the new Adam. Oh, I know this is hard to see, but the Bible said that that veil of the temple was rent in twain. God separated the one from the other. Hallelujah. What does that mean to us? There's that veil as he hung there between heaven and earth. Oh, hallelujah. I wish we had time to preach tonight. Hanging there between heaven and earth, Jesus hanging on Calvary, the veil rent in twain. What was it? A virgin had conceived, a child had been born. Hallelujah. Not a birth from passions. I said the other night, the passions of Mary was never stirred. It's not degraded the way people try to make it. It wasn't a passion birth. The Bible said he was born to the will of God. Hallelujah. The will of man is passions. But he was born of the will of God. There she believed the words of the prophets. And the prophet said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Mary said, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. She kept her body pure. She said, I believe it. And after a while, faith in the words of the Holy Ghost that spoke back there caused her to conceive, not by passions, but by divinity of God. And her very wound here, a blood cell came forth. God created a blood cell by faith. Adam, thou art of the dust, to the dust thou shalt return. But hallelujah, now there has come forth a divine life, a divine blood. Now there's a divine blood. Somebody's believing. Blessed Mary. Somebody said, you Catholic, that ain't Catholicism. Hallelujah. Mary herself testified and said, from henceforth all nations shall call me blessed. They do. God saw that they did it. Even they have to raise up the Catholic Church to do it. Blessed Mary! Glory to God. We'll have some folks squirming here showing up now. Hallelujah! Like old Brother Branham said one time, the Catholics don't have a monopoly on the cross. Amen. They don't have a monopoly on the Virgin either. She belongs to God! Hallelujah! So then, what was it? There came that perfect life. There came that, what kind of blood was that? That devil inside of Judas, he cried, I betrayed innocent blood. He had never gotten into that bloodstream. He got into Adam's. And he called that old red dragon blood life, that old sex life, to come all the way down to death. But when it got to Calvary, Jesus put an end to it. You say, how did he do it? The Bible said, he that knew no sin was made sin. Mary brought forth twins. Come on. She brought forth twins. There was Cain and Eve, Abel. One was of the wicked one. He slew his brother and the blood cried from the ground. There come Esau and Jacob. Esau have I hated, but Jacob have I loved. And there come Christ and Jesus. And Jesus was the sacrifice. And that Christ, being the younger, and thy desire shall be unto him. You'll see in him everything you want to be. Jesus saw in the Christ in God everything he wanted to be. And he said, it's not me that doeth the work, but God on the inside. That Christ, the prophecy said, and I will put enmity between thee and between the woman. Amen. Thy seed shall bruise his head. Hallelujah. And the seed of the serpent shall bruise his heel. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I will put enmity between the two of you. One shall bruise the heel and the other the head. Why is it that the serpent bruises the heel? He's striking at the soul. Isn't that right? Jesus washed their feet at the Last Supper. Why? The washing of the water, of the word, in the soul. And said, do it as often you do it. Remember to me, the preparation of the gospel of Christ. Striking of the soul. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Striking of the soul. But then what does the seed of the woman strike at? That old intellectual seminary head. Come on, folks. That old tree of knowledge, it came down from the fall in the garden. That little stone called the word and a little slang called faith. Killing the giant of opposition. That holds Israel in bondage. So then, you say, what is it, Brother Pike? Look at it for just a minute. Enmity. Who was the seed? Who was the seed? Will you give me a little time to preach tonight? I don't let the sparks go. I'll just fan them. It'll flame back up. Just fan them for just a few minutes. Will you do that? I ain't going to hold you long, drag it out. I just need time to tell you something. Paul preached all night long because he had a revelation. I ain't going to preach all night long, but if you'll listen, I'll preach a little more. You can't get the revelation of Christ in a popcorn sermon.
Now,
so then, you say, what are you trying to say, Brother Pine? See, the Christ picked up the body. Where is the sin? Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. I am dead to the world, which is the body, by the body of Jesus Christ. And the world, which is the body, is dead to me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His death delivered me. He died out of the presence of God as a human body, as a sinful body. Come on, folks. He died as a type of the bastard child. Hallelujah. And the bastard child cannot enter into the congregation of the righteous under 14 generations. And it was 14 generations to his coming. And he picked up the bastard child. Hallelujah. Made sin. Amen. Though he was the lovely Son of God and knew no sin, yet God made him in the image of the Son of the Devil. Come on, folks. He partook of flesh and blood, and God manifested a type. Don't draw up. I know this is foreign to you, and it scares the life out of you. Just hold on. You ain't going to sink. I'll back it up with the Word. That's the trouble with the world today and the church today. They don't have the revelation. They don't know where they're going, and the devil takes advantage of them. That's right. But what is it? He was made a body of sin. He that knew no sin. He was holy, virgin, born, pure. But the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible said, inasmuch as the children were partakers of the flesh, he partook of the same. Made like unto sinful flesh. What was it? He was made like unto the son of Satan. Why? He was made like unto the serpent. Like the seed of the serpent. Who was he? First man, Adam. Made himself twain, that mind that God in Adam defiled the bloodstream of mind as a spirit and a life, a perverted life. It come all the way to Calvary. Hallelujah. And I said this morning that Satan's got this world down here and God's got the third heaven up yonder. And Satan has wrestled this world out of the hands of Adam. And he set up a barrage between heaven and earth. When old brother Daniel was praying and ringing the prayer bells of heaven and calling on God, Satan sent out a barrage between heaven and earth. The angels intercepted the angels and stopped him. Didn't want that answer to get down there to a man of God and cause trouble in the kingdom of Satan. How do you know Satan's a prince of this world? The Bible said so. God, I said this morning, he couldn't come down as deity and do it. Because Satan could have accused him in the day of judgment. He said, I took it from Adam. I took it from Adam. It belongs to me. You gave it to Adam. So then he had to come in the likeness of a near kinsman. Take it back as a kinsman redeemer. Is that right? Why did he do that? He had to come down in this world to be made a body of sin because a body had sin. Death by Adam. Death didn't come by God. Death is God's enemy. Death came by Adam, the man Adam. Life come by Jesus Christ. So then what did he do? That body was made like unto the serpent. Somebody said, where do you get that? Cause in the wilderness, Moses lifted up the serpent. Whosoever looking upon the brazen serpent. What is the brazen? Been through the fire. Hallelujah. Look on him, you live. He bore our infirmities and our sins in his own body on the tree. I read it to you tonight. What was it? It was that inner Christ picking up that outer body. What was he doing with that body? He was taking that body to Calvary for one purpose. Why a cross? Between heaven and earth. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, the ruler over the demons that's in the air, that works in the minds of the children of disobedience. They're taken into captivity to the will of the devil anytime. A cross between heaven and earth. He crossed that barrage, and like shepherd, he broke through the spheres. And like shepherd, when he launched out in space, the shepherd of our soul put a door in heaven. And John said, behold, a door is open in heaven. I am the door to the sheepfold. Oh, hallelujah. From henceforth, he said, thou shalt see angels descending and ascending, coming through that door. Hallelujah. Jacob's ladder, because Jacob had a dream. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, brother Jacob being a type of Jesus and them 12 sons being a type of them 12 apostles. Hallelujah. So then, he picked that body up. What did he do with it? He took it and he hung it at Calvary. What did he do with it? And the prophecy said, it shall bruise the head of the serpent. What did he do? That Christ bruised the head of that Jesus that hung there at Calvary with the crown of thorns. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you believe that Christ did that awful thing? I certainly know he did. Amen. Somebody said them wicked Romans did that, but that ain't what the Bible said. Amen. Somebody said them mean Jews did that, but that ain't what the Bible said. Hallelujah. Old Pilate washed his hands and said, I don't have nothing to do with that. Took care of the Roman part. The Bible said it wasn't lawful for the Jews to put anybody to death. That took care of the Jewish part. But the Bible said we esteemed him smitten of God. God raised up the serpent, smote the head of it, and killed the red serpent. The red dragon, by stopping the bloodline of sex death, bringing it all the way down, nailed it to Calvary and stopped it. Right there at Calvary, Christ said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I saw him fall from heaven as lightning. Oh, I wish we had time to preach. I really do. Hallelujah. I saw him as lightning fall from heaven. Old brother John, just a few years later, that's about 33 AD. About 96 AD, here come old brother John. Amen. Wasn't about 30 or 40 years later, here come old brother John. Hallelujah. You see what I'm talking about? He was there when it all happened. They exiled him to Patmos. God took Calvary and unveiled it to him. The revelation of Jesus Christ is none other than Calvary. I've got over 300 tapes here that we preached in Revelation and prove that every bit of it goes back to Calvary. John was looking at Calvary just a few short years later. God unveiled Calvary and showed him that that man-child that was caught up was the Christ. Hallelujah, at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that right? God showed John that that lightning that was in heaven was when the friction come and the ark of his testament was open. Where? When the veil was rent in twain and the heavens rolled back and the ark, which was the word of his testament, was seen. Hallelujah. Find it in the sixth seal, the opening of the sixth seal, and the heavens turned dark. Wonder what he said in the sixth seal when he's open? He said, and the heavens turned dark. Where'd they do that? Calvary. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you know that that don't happen to the end of the world? Old Brother Peter got the revelation and said, ye are the people upon whom the end of the world will come. Hallelujah. Somebody said, if that was the end of the world, then what is this? This is the church ages. And I'll tell you what, they're just about over. Amen. Brother Branham calls them out. Something, where are we today? The Lord and the prophets and little John, since that time, the kingdom's been preached. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Come on, folks. Fixing to reap the earnestness of our inheritance, the redemption of the body. Isn't that right? Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, the signs of the prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Return, O disperse, to thine home. Is that right? Why? Because the day of redemption is here. Not near, but here. Hallelujah. If I had all night to preach, I could prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Hallelujah. Somebody said, where is that kingdom? Oh, hallelujah. Them Jews said, you're going to restore that kingdom to us. We want to know about this thing. Jesus said, the kingdom of God don't come by observation. You fellas might as well quit looking. Church of such and such and such, having a name you live, but you're dead. You might as well stop looking. Somebody said, what makes you think we're dead? Because the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. You're looking in the wrong direction. Have a name that you live, but you're dead. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, what are you trying to tell us? Yes, what I'm trying to say to you. Listen a little longer. I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. What is it you're trying to say? I'm trying to point out something to you tonight. Where is the kingdom of God? The Bible said it's within you. The saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom. I said this morning at Calvary, Satan rose up with his intellectual PhDs and brought in a force, and the kingdom suffered violence at the hand of men, and the hand of men wrestled the Ark of the Covenant out of the hands of Israel. But one day they found out it worked in reverse for them. Amen. When they got the emrods and the sores and the cancers and the heartaches and the woes and the sorrows, they said, give this thing back to the Pentecostals. We don't want it. We'll go to the bathing pools and to the races and to the hot rod shows and everything else. Give this thing back to them. It's working in reverse for us. You know why? They don't know how to serve it. Hallelujah. Got it back over there to the Pentecostals at last. About to get the thing back now. Some of the great scholars you know, and some of the seminary and ecclesiastical powers, some of the man-made overseers we got, said, you better go down there and see if you can't steady that little boat down there. She's rocking too much. So they slapped their hands on it too when it come into the field of Beshith. When it come in there to the field of Beshemoth, when it come over there, some of them run out there and they were so glad to get it. They slapped their hands on it and they pulled back the blood covering to take a look and make sure everything was right. God slew thousands of them. You add unto the words of this prophecy, God would add the plagues of this book unto you. You take one word out of the book, I'll take your part out of the book of life. You can't get in conversation and tell people what you think. God said, how can he preach unless he be sent? Hallelujah. God sent him, he speak God's word. And so then we see here, as that's nailed up here, the ark coming out, the sixth seal over there, we see the end of the world. Is that right? The kingdom of God, what is it? Said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom. The saints of God have been worn out. They've worn us out, folks. How do you know that? The tabernacle of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost is in the earth today. And that beast mind, that intellectual power of Trinitarian concept and religion blasphemes the worthy name by which it's called. It's the name Jesus, because it's the body and bone of Jesus. It's the tabernacle. Come on, folks. But the beast out there, call them holy rollers and Jesus on and everything else, speaking evil of dignities, not knowing what they're doing, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, walking with hobnob shoes where angels fear to tread. What is it? How do you understand what I'm saying? I feel like shouting. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what are you talking about, Trinity? Now listen, I know there's Trinitarian people that are godly people. I know that. I don't want you to misunderstand me. We've had some of them in our services from time to time. I preach to the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic. That's right, all over the nation. Assemblies of God open their doors to me. But listen, now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? There are some good Holy Ghost filled people out there. Isn't that right? God's got them out there. Somebody said they ought to get over here. God has his way in the good and evil. God creates both. God works his thing after his own will. Come on, folks. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe they can be protected out there in that Trinitarian village? Why not? Somebody said, well, where do you get that? Because the Bible said God blinded Israel in part till the fullness of the Gentiles come in. He's taking care of them. Paul said he did it so he could have mercy on them. Is that right? And as it is written, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. God knows how to do it, my friend. As long as he keeps them in ignorance, they're all right. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Got to have a bride somewhere. Bridegroom somewhere. Children of the bride chamber somewhere. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. The sons of God shall marry the church. The time's coming, the manifestation of the sons of God. That woman's out there, that Trinitarian veil. That's Rebecca out there in the veil. Isaac will go get her. Just watch and see. Hallelujah. That Trinitarian veil will be rent in twain. Hallelujah. God will do it. Separate body, soul, and spirit at Calvary. God will do it. How many believe he'll do it? Now you say, what are you talking about? All right, listen for just a few more minutes. I'll tell you what, I got about two or three more hours of this, but ain't no way in the world I'll be able to bring it out because you've been such a good audience. I know that you're going to want to go in a few minutes. You're already worn out and still trying to hold on, be courteous, but give me just a few more minutes, folks, will you? Just a few more minutes. All right, now, let's just look at it for just a minute now. All right, now, it is a true fact that the serpent was nailed to Calvary. Now, what was that? Now, we know Jesus was holy. Jesus was no serpent. Jesus was the holy, unspotted, without blemish Son of God. We know that. But the Bible said, he that knew no sin was made sin, that you sinful people that know sin might be made righteousness. And we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. What is the wedding garment? Said, if anybody come in without the wedding garment, what is the wedding garment? The Bible said, as many have been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the wedding garment. If you go in there without the wedding garment, you're going to be in trouble. That bride will put on the wedding garment. She's making her preparations. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. She loves the name of her husband. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, now, look at the butterfly. You see what I'm talking about? That old serpent in the garden, put him on his belly. What is it? What is it? Jesus resurrected from the dead. What did he do? He left the cocoon, didn't he? Didn't he? God said, thy worm Jacob, I'll help thee. I said the other night, the worms get into bread. Bread's all right, but the worms get into it. That's why he can't hold it over. Come on, folks. I said something about Brother Brown's message being yesterday's manner, and he ready to crucify me. But it's stolen. Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with the bread. Ain't nothing wrong with Paul's. But it's yesterday's manner. Somebody said, wait a minute. Come on, folks. Say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean, the worms got into it. The intellectual scholars of today. They've made Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian and everything else out of it. So what did God have to do? He had to take it from a literal printed page and turn it into the Spirit. That's what he said. He didn't say, if you had a head full of printed page, I'll take you to heaven. He said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. That's right, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. That's right. See, that printed page is just to lead Pharaoh into the Red Sea so he can get drowned. Amen. If God can lead Pharaoh into the bloodline to make him guilty of the blood, he'll swallow him up. You say, how does he do that? Get him into religion. That's all he's got to do. That's the bloodline. Get him into religion. That's all he got to do. Give him some knowledge. When his knowledge is required of him. But no man should be justified by the knowledge. No man shall be justified by a printed page. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the fleshly body of his Son, justified in the Spirit, to be our example. Now, right, it takes the Spirit. So then what is it? It's the worm. The worm. You know, you have something you hold over, they get it on tape. They get it on printed page. They catalog it and they stack it back. Then they say, quotation such and such and such and such. Twice dead and plucked up by the root. No inspiration, no nothing. Cataloged it as an intellectual killer. Go out with their intellectual brain work and kill the people. Hallelujah. Can't come to me lest my spirit draw you. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. The worms get into it when they stack it back. God said, don't you stack that manner back. That manner's all right. That's God. But don't you stack it back. The worms get into it. Hallelujah. He said, these eagles is going to feed every day. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but there ain't no more. Well, there must be because I'm getting some. God ain't dead. He disappears in another form. Hallelujah. Them eagles have to feed every day. Glory to God. You ain't going to write no book and stack it back. Hallelujah. Let the worms get into it. Monopolize off of it and put it in your pocket and walk off like a PhD and say, come over here to our college. We got volume such and such and such and such. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. This thing's in the spirit. God's got it so fixed that they'll just walk right off and leave you while you're doing all your cataloging. Hallelujah. I could say something here. I guess I ought to say it. The Lord brought it to my mind. He must intend for me to say it. Somebody probably get upset with me. God gave me a vision. Come on now, don't run away. God gave me a vision. I'm not mocking. I'm just telling you the truth. I love you. I'm trying to help you get free. God gave me a vision. One of the visions was I saw a grave. And I saw Brother Branham's followers lined up the grave one behind another, and the darkness fell on them. Now, gave me another vision. I looked in the vision, and I saw in the vision a bunch of feathers. Now listen, I saw a bunch of feathers. This was at a place, in the vision I was at a place called Ensign. I remember that I lift up an ensign to the people. And you don't quite understand what I'm saying, but Brother Beretta does. The one that's going to take control of my brother over here is the Forsyth Vault Company. And Forsyth is where Ensign is. And so I lift up an ensign to the people. This has to do with it, with the body coming over. I want you to listen to it. That ensign, I look. And right across from where I was, I look, and there was a friend of mine, a little boy by the name of Stuart, I used to play with. I saw in the vision a lady sitting at a desk. Then I saw a bunch of feathers. Just, they were so beautiful and cataloged, so beautiful, one right after another. I went over to this lady that was sitting at the desk, and I said, sister, I said, give me them feathers. And she looked at me, she looked at the feathers, and she said, if I do that, the brethren will be upset. I said, I know it. There was catalog so pretty. Quotation such and such. But I said, give them to me anyway. She said, all right. So she gave me the feathers. I took the feathers and I went across the road. I got there in an empty house. I got into a room and I begin to put a feather here and a feather there and a feather over here. And when I got through, I had a great, big, beautiful eagle. I like just a little tip on the end of his wing, having it finished when I come out of the vision. I come out of that vision, I said, my dear God, what kind of vision is that? And here's what the Lord said to me. I will lift up an ensign unto the people. Son, I'm going to give you the revelation of Jesus Christ. And those things that come down through Brother Branham that the followers has got cataloged. He said, them feathers represents the old quill they used to write with. And it represents the writings and the scribes. Said, I want you to take them. I'm going to show you how to put them together. and said, when you say that you've got it, the brethren's going to really get upset. They're going to call you a false prophet. Said, but you go ahead and put them together, and when you get them together, it's going to form an eagle, and that eagle is going to fly away and be raptured. Somebody had a vision that I wrote a book and it brought the rapture. You love the Lord? Somebody said, there you go again. There goes God again. I don't manufacture dreams. He's the one that does that. He said, if you had a dream, just tell it. You understand what I'm saying? Joseph had a dream and the brethren didn't like it. Like I told a vision here a few days ago, I had a dream, and in this dream I looked and all the stars of heaven gathered to the same side I was on. I had a dream. Somebody said, what that mean? I don't know. I'll let you figure it out. When you figure it out, you come and tell me. That way you'll know the interpretation. You can share it with me. Be sure you got it right then. It won't be mine. You understand what I'm saying? Show them the scripture is of no private interpretation. For it was wrought as men were moved by the Holy Ghost. When God gave Brother Branham the messages he gave, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it has to be interpreted the same way. And a bunch of carnal-minded people will never do it. But those spiritual-minded people, the elders died in the wilderness from quotations. But God raised up the youth and raised up their children that come on that message and brought them in under the powers of the next move of God. You mean since Paul died, God ain't done nothing else? Come on, folks. You mean since Moses died, God ain't done nothing else? You mean to tell me that God ain't done nothing since the days of Elijah? As great as Elijah was, God came and done something by Elisha. As great as Moses was, God done something by Joshua. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. You mean to tell me God ain't done nothing since that time? You mean to tell me that Brother Branham's been dead 10 long years and God ain't done nothing? Where you been living? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. You tell me I can gather together here with two of you and Christ come in the midst and Christ not do anything and say anything? When the Bible said it's not you that speak with the Heavenly Father, speak from within you. Come on, folks, you know better than that. Somebody say hallelujah. If you can't say amen, I'm going to have to close. I just, there's so much here I just can't tell it to save my life. Some things I wanted to say. One thing in trying to close out here. God put the serpent on his belly, folks. That worm. I will help thee, thy worm, Jacob. Where the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. I said to you the other night, people say, this fire ain't going to last. California, they say, God puts you through the fire and brings you back out and runs you right on into his kingdom. Then you're brought in his epifire. Somebody said, there ain't no eternal hell, it ain't going to last. I said the other night, I know there ain't no eternal hell. I know the Bible said that hell gave up its dead, and the grave gave up its dead, and the sea gave up its dead, and all of them was cast into the lake of fire. And that was the end of hell, but it didn't say it was the end of the lake of fire. Somebody said spaces of time, Jonah in the belly of a whale, 2 or 3 days, that's true. It does mean spaces of time according to the early rendering. That's right. Wasn't there but a few days. Said he was there forever. Somebody said everlasting. Don't mean everlasting. But I quoted the scripture the other night. The writer said where the worm don't die and the fire is not quenched. He said, and these are eternal flames. If eternal flames is not eternal flames, then eternal life is not eternal life. Come on, folks. What are you going to believe? The word or what you think about it? Lean not to thine own understanding. Preach the word, God said. That's my word. God says to speak his word. So then the old worm on his belly crawled around on his belly a crooked generation till he got down to Calvary. Hallelujah. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, and Jesus picked him up and hanging on a tree became a curse for us, taking us out under the curse. You say, what do you mean? I mean he rent the veil and opened the cocoon, and out come the butterfly. We are not a worm anymore. We are not crawling on our belly anymore. The veil has been rent at Calvary. Jesus come out of that cocoon and left it lander. We're heavenly creatures, glorified. For God is justified, sanctified. And the Bible said he has glorified us. And we are on this side of Calvary. We are heavenly creatures in the sunlight of his glory. Hallelujah. The moving of my brother Charles, that's what he means. Coming in here, the cocoon. The lost ark has been found. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said 13 years, 13 colonies. Amen. Oh, I see some more coming. I better stop. You love the Lord. I want you to stand with me. I want you to stand with me. Wow, there's just so much I'd like to say tonight. But I love you and I appreciate you. I believe that Paul was a great man, and I believe that our brother Branham was God in the evening time walking through the garden. I believe that. Some of them say, well, I don't believe he was God. Well, that's your conviction. But according to what the Holy Spirit showed in the revelation of Jesus Christ, he was. He was God walking through the garden. Hallelujah. God in another form. Somebody say, you make a man God? No. Didn't have a thing to do with it. He said, you're gods. That's right. Jesus said, I've made you God unto Aaron and the people, Moses. Come on, folks. You're gods, Jesus said. In Psalms it said, you're gods. You're not a man. You're not on your belly. You're not that beast. You're a god. I've said a lot of times, dogs beget dogs and gods beget gods. Hallelujah. We are gods, sons of God. Amen. And a god is something that can't die. Hallelujah. So the covenant, the ark has been found. Death has been conquered. That's right. The message last night showed it in what we preach. It's on tape. It has been conquered. You love the Lord? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Brother Branham was God according to measure. God hath dealt unto every man the measure. But he giveth unto Jesus Christ the Spirit without measure. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. Tonight, you are God in the flesh by measure. Come on, folks. You got to admit, Brother Branham had a great big measure, didn't he? Hallelujah. God's got captains and sergeants and corporals and rookies. Bring forth my army, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Chain of commands. God walking through the garden in the evening time of life. How wonderful, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I love you no matter what you call me. If you can call me a false prophet. Like I said this morning, one thing about it, if you call me a false prophet or a devil, whatever you call me, it's like the song says, I got him on my mind. That means you got me on your mind. I don't know where you live and where you at. Don't know why, but you got me on your mind, that's for sure. Something's moving you, something's stirring you up. I said the other night, they say I'm a false prophet. The Bible said when they condemned Jesus, their witnesses didn't agree together. One says he's a false prophet. The other said, huh, he ain't no prophet. Now, what is he? Is he a prophet or ain't he a prophet? Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Praise God. There's a greater than a prophet here. Amen. Somebody said, John's a prophet. Jesus said, a prophet. Oh, my. He said, that man's more than a prophet. He said, this is he of whom it is written. Amen. Greater than Solomon here. How many know the Holy Ghost is here? It'll make you feel better. Have to put the carnal mind to silence, don't you? All right. Now, I appreciate you tonight. Tonight's the last night of the camp meeting. You're so sweet to come out and be with us.
We love you and appreciate you so much. No matter what anybody would say about me, whether it's here or whether it's abroad, you go back and tell them that Brother Pike said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That I love them with all of my heart. And my sincere prayer is, God bless and save mine enemies. What is a little old word calling a man a false prophet? I mean, what is a little old statement from a little old human being that's nothing but the dust, just chattering at the mouth like a little old animal, you know. Don't know where he's going, what he's doing. He just a chattering away, you know. Do you want his poor little old soul to sink into hell just because he's chattering at the lips? He's pitiful. He needs help. You can see beyond that, folks. We're bigger than that. Reach out there and get him and help him. Who knows but what you might help the man. You don't ever know. Love him. Love your enemies. Do good to them in spite of you. Pray for them that persecute you. Beat ye swords into plowshares. Let's get a harvest for God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. It was a day of peace when Solomon built the house. The Prince of Peace house suite. Let's sing a little chorus together. We'll sing this chorus first. This always seems to seal up everything and make it just right. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and sing of his wonderful love. Can you sing it again with me? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful. One more time, can we? Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of his wonderful love. Don't you love Jesus tonight? I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come over. Lead us in a chorus or two as we worship the Lord. And I want to pray for the little child here. Pray for those that want prayer tonight. If you need prayer, I want to pray for you. I love you tonight. The Bible said, love is of God. He that loveth is of God, for God is love. And you know, folks, there ain't but one thing that's going to bring us together. And that's not me proving that I know more than you, or you know more than I do. That's not what's going to bring us together. Not trying to prove who's the sixth angel and the seventh angel. That isn't going to bring us together. Not that. Have you understand what I'm saying? That's not what's going to bring us together. There's only one thing that can bind lively stones together. What is that? Can I tell just a little story here tonight? How many know God hides himself in simplicity? Like the letter we got not too long ago from Pat Boone, the movie star, where he'd got a hold of one of our tapes on the little glass slipper, wrote and told us how that his cup run over, and said it was such a thrill. As I listened to the message, Brother Pike, he said, so much coming out of a fable to glorify our Christ. God hiding himself in simplicity. God creates everything, even to teach the little children. How have you ever heard the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? You ever heard that? A little Snow White. A little old story been told all down through the years and read with the little children. A little Snow White. Them little seven little dwarfs. I know this is a foolish and a base thing to the world to confound the wise. But them little dwarfs, you know, they stayed right around Snow White. They discovered her one day. They stayed right around her, watched after her. They didn't let nothing hurt her, right there with her. But the little story stated that one day, a cruel witch slipped in. Oh, how wonderful God is, hiding himself in simplicity. The little story said the old witch would go up to the mirror. How many know God's law is a mirror? Said as a man that beholdeth himself in a mirror. I'm not off track. The old witch would look in the mirror and give the little saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And the mirror always answered back, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian. Why not? They've got all the lipstick, the powder, the paint, the money. Come on, folks. Every day she would ask, and it would always answer back, the Catholic, Presbyterian. Amen. But one day, little Snow White was born. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. One day, little Snow White was born. The old witch went up to the mirror. Paul said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? He used to put witches to death, you know. The old witch went up to the mirror and said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? The mirror said, Snow White. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Pharaoh said, kill them people! Multiplying too fast out there. Get rid of that little Bethlehem. Do away with them homeless folks. They're gaining prestige. Reader's Digest said they done got into the government. Amen. Snow White. God said, I'll wash you as white as the snow. Isn't that right? Have you know we're Snow White tonight? Everybody Snow White, lift your hands tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible said it washes whiter than the snow. Who's the fairest of them all? The bride of Christ, Snow White. Them little old seven dwarfs like the seven church ages down there watching over. One day that old witch slipped in. Hallelujah. Amen. Gave her the poison apple. Come on. Amen. You ever heard of Adam's apple? She died, the witch thought. But Jesus went over to Lazarus and said, he's not dead, he's asleep. Oh, hallelujah. Snow White's just sleeping. What is she doing waiting for her Prince Charming? Hallelujah. And the little story said Prince Charming came along. And the little fellas was weeping. The little dross was just a weeping, you know, and a weeping. No, Brother John said, I wept much. And they looked through heaven and earth, and they couldn't find nobody worthy. Amen, said somebody, opened the book, but said they couldn't find anybody worthy. But all of a sudden, the voice said, don't worry, John. God's Prince Charming has prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. Prince Charming went over, bent over Snow White, give her a kiss of charity. Said, greet thy brother with a kiss of charity. That's when my spirit kisses your spirit and your spirit kisses my spirit.
I submit myself unto you as one to another, and you submit yourself unto me, and Christ is the all in all. Hallelujah. I don't have the preeminence because I'm submitted to you, and you don't have the preeminence because you're submitted to me, and we don't have the preeminence because we're submitted to him. He gave her a kiss of charity, and she awoke from her sleep. Oh, hallelujah. God is love. And there remaineth three: faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Bond the lively stones together with the mortar of charity. My brother, it's not what I can prove to you. That's not what's going to bind us together and awake us from the deep sleep. Said they all was asleep at the midnight cry, the foolish and the wise. But what's going to wake us? When you, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, when you walk as God's Prince Charming, and you come over to the little sleeping maid, and you give her a kiss of charity. Though the person might be heavy-hearted, they might be depressed, and they might be cast down and look like they've gone the last mile of the way, but a little kiss of charity, and you'll see life begin to give forth. Hallelujah. And you'll see the maid wake out of her sleep. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Don't you love Jesus tonight? While Brother Taylor sings a chorus or two, let me pray for these. I love the Lord tonight. I know you love the Lord. Can you sing it with him? It really is a stream of life. You say, why do you tell those little fables, Brother Pike?
A stream is flowing.
He said, if you love me, feed my lambs. The little lambs can feed off of that. God's big enough to get to the banker. But he was small enough in heart, he took the little lad and set him on his knee and said, forbid him not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. His iron, the sin still took the word. He speaks my language. He speaks your language. He speaks the little child's language. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. How do you feel like God's Snow White tonight? Oh, hallelujah.
A stream is
I want to pray for this little baby tonight.
From Calvary.
Father of heaven, as I pray for this precious little thing, I know that Satan has come in. And when we give place to Satan, he injures that which is closest to our heart. But dear Jesus, these people are not bad. Lord, they want to serve you. Put up the blood standard tonight and keep the enemy out. Take this little darling child that's close to their heart and heal its little foot tonight. I ask you to heal it, Jesus, Lord, and to make it well for your name's sake, Jesus.
Everybody,
Lord, bless this mother tonight and that precious daddy that's driven. I pray that you bless him. Jesus, give strength. Oh, hallelujah. I feel faith tonight, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that a great miracle would take place in this heart and home. In Jesus' name. Father, as I remember the great faith of Sister Anna, Lord, if you read the tract there in Del Rio, Texas, her faith caused the awful disease to leave her body that the doctors was astounded. The same faith is in her heart tonight. Whatever her request is, Lord, according to her faith, so be it unto her in Jesus' name. Lord, this precious sister that wanted to come to this camp meeting so bad, Lord, it's Satan trying to hinder her, trying to injure her. Lord, do something for her tonight. I ask you to heal her. Make her well, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, bless these precious little children. Let the great Spirit of God in Jesus' name tonight come down upon them. May thy power, O Lord, be rich to these little ones in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for Matt tonight. I pray, dear Jesus, that his heart would be satisfied, the longing of his heart. Dear God, you've blessed him. He's got a newcomer to the family now. I'm thankful for Mac. I appreciate Mac, Father. Thank you for the times that he stood and dug. Oh, God, and went through the things he has in calling to help me. I pray that you'll remember him and bless him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for my brother tonight. Lord, I can see that grief, heartaches, and sorrows has fell across his path. But Jesus, thou art a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And Lord, you bore our grief that we might not have to bear. I ask in Jesus' name tonight, take away the grief. Heal. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Father,
the sorrow of Brother Richard's heart, many days of weariness. Oh Lord, how weary. Nobody will ever know but you, Jesus. This man has been so weary to be a young man, Lord. So weary. But I pray tonight that you'd heal his body. Deliver him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, bless this sister tonight. Help her tonight. These people need help, Jesus. How they long for the touch.
There is healing
from your presence and from your glory, Jesus. May thy spirit be upon them. Bless these darling little children, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless them in Jesus' lovely name tonight. As I lay hands on them, bless them in Jesus' name, Father. As I touch them tonight, may thy spirit be with them. Hallelujah. Jesus' lovely name tonight. Bless them for your glory tonight. Bless them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Bless them in Jesus' name tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, bless this little baby. Lord, bless Sister Helen tonight. I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus that you'd bless her. I know that you're here tonight, Jesus.
It's in the chapter. The number is 4. The verse number,
I love you, Jesus.
8 in 1 John.
Lord, do something for these people and for the weary hearts.
It's in the
tonight.
Chapter. The number,
Jesus' name tonight, Father.
The verse,
Father, touch this little lady.
8 in 1
Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, you said, neither do I condemn thee.
God,
Lord, to go
love.
And sin no more.
God,
Father,
is love.
In the name of Jesus
the
tonight,
Bible,
Lord, mend the broken strings of Sister
God
Sue's heart.
Is love.
Lord, let the joy of the
God
Lord
is love.
Flow like
Saint
a river.
John repeats.
Oh, Lord, and touch her in Jesus' name.
God,
Lord, touch our
love.
Sister here tonight.
God,
may the greatness of your love and spirit be with her.
The
let the weary find rest. Oh, Lord. Have
it's
ill faith,
in the
Jesus.
Chapter, the number is 4.
Fathers, I pray for this person tonight, for Shane and Randy. I pray that every yoke
it's
would be broken.
In the chapter,
break it,
the
Jesus, as I feel faith.
Four.
The touch Sister Dars tonight, Lord. This little child. No, oh, God bless her.
Hallelujah.
Lord, her way has been a hard way.
But Jesus, you're with
there
her.
There is power.
And God, you're going to help her.
Power.
I believe it.
Wonderful.
Help her to believe in Jesus'
in the
name.
Blood.
I feel your faith, Jesus.
The land.
Hallelujah.
There is power.
Father,
power. Wonderful.
I pray tonight that the heartaches
the
of Paul would vanish away into
blood.
Nothing.
The land.
Let a ray of sunlight.
Be
come into this
whiter, much
Jesus, you're with him. Lord, I feel his
power in the
you're going to help him, Jesus.
Jesus.
Lord, you'll make him happy again.
Come to
make his heart to sing.
For his life cleansing
right,
flow.
Jesus.
There's
hallelujah.
Wonderful power in the blood.
Lord,
there's
as I
power.
Pray for Keith tonight.
Power. Wonder working.
You know how trouble he's been.
Blood.
So troubled, Jesus.
There is
but
power,
Lord, help him tonight.
Power,
help him, Jesus.
Wonder-working power.
Minister to him.
Blood.
Let the yoke be broken.
As
I look away to Calvary.
Power,
hallelujah.
Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Father, I pray for this brother tonight.
Power.
The wonderful name of Jesus. Enrich him with thy blessings and power. As I feel thy strength, Father.
Oh, yes, it
Lord, bless Brother Johnny tonight.
I know it.
As I feel your presence here.
I know it. Heal.
Oh, God, in Jesus' name.
Oh, yes. Jesus on that cross.
Lord, as I pray for Ed. Lord, he's very precious to me, Lord.
For me.
I pray that you'd heal
yes,
him.
It was the blood.
Anointing with your great anointing,
I
Jesus.
Was the blood.
I feel his faith right now.
Yes, it was the blood.
Oh, I feel the yoke breaking. Hallelujah.
King Jesus on that cross.
Hallelujah.
Suffered pain.